You had signed on with Dot Records after leaving Capitol after 7 years, and here's the song, Yesterday When I Was Young, which was a real good song for you.
I was getting ready to do an album. I had selected all the tunes, and again, it was Joe Allison that had brought me Tips of My Fingers that was producing this new vocal album. We were at the hotel with a friend of mine, Scotty Turner, who just recently passed away. He was a record producer also. We were just getting ready to walk out the door. We had selected all the songs for the new album, and Scotty Turner said, I have a song. It doesn't fit anyone that I'm recording, but you could do it. And he started getting excited. He said, I've got a reel-to-reel copy of this song. It's a French song. Has just recently been approved by the writer Charles Aznavour for the English translation. He said, but I'm not recording any artists that the song fits. Would you like to hear it? Joe said, and I agreed, well, if you're that excited about it, of course I'd like to hear it. He ran up to his room, come down, put it on this reel-to-reel tape recorder, played it, and I literally fell out of the chair. I said, it's a smash. I don't care who records it. Rin Tin Tin can do it, and it's a smash. My records prior to that were different, but it was to my advantage. A lot of songs that go to number one will go on the air, shoot up to number one, and then the next week they're off the charts. The history of my records had always been that they would go on the chart and go up and go up, and they may stay a week. The next week they'd go up another step. But they were on the chart long enough for other disc jockeys and people to become acquainted with it. When my record came out and it started that climb, they took it to everybody to record other artists. They wanted Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby, who finally did years later, Dean Martin, Buddy Greco, you name it. Sinatra said a line that made me feel good. He said, that's a great song and I'd love to do it. He said, but I can't afford to have a second record to Roy Clark. Made me feel good that he felt I was strong enough that...
He felt he couldn't do any better. He never did record it then, did he?
Sinatra didn't. It's in the last album that Bing Crosby did. He recorded it.
Then came along the song Come Live With Me.
Now I'm getting some attention. Friends of mine, Boudlow and Felice Bryant, two of the most successful country writers, did all of the Everly Brothers songs, Bye Bye Love. Well, you just name it. For years and years, they did almost every song that was written out of Nashville. Well, I get to Hee Haw one morning, and Sam Lovello, the producer of Hee Haw's office, was Boudlow Bryant with a little guitar, and he said, I've been up all night writing you a song. The first thought that hit me was, Lord, what if I don't like it? How do you tell Boudlow Bryant, thanks, but no thanks? He played a little bit of it, and I said, take the worry out of it. That's a great song.
Became number one.
Yes, it did. My first number one song.
You were on pop charts, but here you were a country star.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that goes back to my upbringing in Washington, D.C., playing all the different styles of music, because you're there with people from all over the country. And I was never one for saying, well, this is what I do, take it or leave it. I try to fit in. And that is my approach to making records.
You were fortunate you had the voice that could do that. I could name some country voices that just wouldn't sound good on a pop chart. I don't want to describe them, but they're very, very country.
Yeah, too country.
Yeah, to do that. And you had a voice that could cross over, so you were blessed with that kind of sound.
If what you say is true, see, and it gets back to self-confidence. It was a long time before I felt comfortable listening to a playback of my voice. Even talking, I would hear my voice on the tape talking, and I would, ooh. You know, let's just don't linger on that.
Yesterday when I was young, that's a real sensitive sound. I mean, is it fair for me to say that Hank Williams couldn't do that with the sensitivity you did?
You're right. I can't see him doing that.
Right. As great as he was, then he also had the song, I Never Pick Cotton.
Right. You'll notice that through the years, the different songs all had messages. They had a statement that I listened to when I listened to the possibility that I may consider recording it. Because I'd go through a stack every time that I would go into Nashville to record. You send word out, and every publisher and every writer is going to meet at your hotel room when you get there. Well, I'd start off with a stack of records, demos, for me to consider that would be a foot high. So you go through them and you listen. The list of songs starts getting shorter. Invariably, you're going to make a mistake. You're going to let one go by that didn't strike you at the time. But 2 months later, someone else comes out with it. You said, I had it. I had that song, and I let it get away.
Also, did you ever record a song that you thought was going to be a hit, and it didn't become a hit?
There's been several of those. In fact, I was going to record what they used to have, and they don't use the term anymore, the B-side. I was going to record an album of B-sided songs, you know, that never made it because they were on the other side of a mega hit. My idea was to do the B-side.
Another song with a message was Right or Left at Oak Street.
That song, to me, I'm not through with it yet. I run into a gentleman on an airplane one time, right after the song had come out. He introduced himself. He was a minister. He was a preacher. He told me how much he loved Right or Left at Oak Street. In fact, to the point that he formed one of his sermons around the lyrics to the song. If you stop and think about it, it just plays on itself. You know, right or left at Oak Street is a choice I make every day. Taking a right turn or a left turn. Well, you can put that into a sermon and say, I hope I make the right choice.
Who wrote that song? Do you recall?
I just happen to know, and I don't know a lot of them, close friends of mine, Charlie Williams and Joe Nixon. But it's by chance that I know that off the top of my head, because I was just sent back a lyric sheet about 2 weeks ago for me to autograph the lyrics to Right or Left at Oak Street.
But you said a little bit ago that you're not done with that song. What did you mean? What do you want to do with it?
I'm going to record it again. I'm going to record it again now that I've had a chance to live with it all these years. I know that there is a different side to what I feel. Not that I'll change it. But the experience of having it and living with it all this time will dictate to me how I'll do it.
You can put a different expression on it?
Yes, expression and more believability. I don't know if that makes sense or not. It's almost like I'm asking the listener to pay attention. I want you to hear something. You know, I want you to hear this song.